the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I am Faye Davis. I'm here with Carla Soans. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Faye. How are you?
I'm a little nervous.
You're nervous about the topic or something else?
No, definitely the topic. So we're tackling kind of a big one today. So, you know, it's this thing in culture right now. It's this cancel culture, and that just that phrase alone can elicit so many emotions. So we're gonna try to tackle this thing about cancel culture with the lens on economic development. You know, when I was kind of thinking about doing this topic and when you and I have talked about it, we wanted to be really conscious of bringing like both sides of the coin into this conversation. So we just thought it was a really good idea to just kind of dive in and see what effect this has on economic development. So Carla, you know, when you think about cancel culture, how do you feel it affects business and, you know, what comes up for you?
Okay, so starting at the very beginning, Faye, I feel like you and I have made the commitment to try to keep our own like bias out of the podcast and just kind of stay as neutral and as factual as we can.
Yes.
So we're mutually committed to that. And with the goal of talking about cancel culture without getting canceled.
Yes.
So listening audience, this is your cue to cue in grace because we're trying to approach a conversation that is tough.
It's kind of
a tough conversation because it sparks so many emotions for people because these are real human lives.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of if you agree, disagree, if they've done things that were incorrect, whether they've said they're sorry or not said they're sorry, real humans are at play.
Real futures and real pasts and real connections and
real families.
Yeah.
Like it all. So your question was like, you know, what do you think about cancel culture? And I will just say that, you know, when you really think about cancel culture, you think about where it started. It started as a way for marginalized groups to really assert some type of influence. And so it almost like in a sense, you could view it as like boycotting. So if you think about like, you know, hey, we feel like you did not listen to this or you're doing something that's inappropriate or you're getting X, Y, or Z. And so we're not going to buy your products anymore because of X. That's really where it has started. And now it's evolved, as we all know, and it means radically different things to different people.
Yeah.
And some people view that as like, is it mob mentality? Is it a way of invoking power to the masses? And so we don't really have a democracy anymore. Is it an assault on free speech or is it a free market at work? But really, regardless, it's something that's impacting us all.
Yeah.
It's really impacting leaders. It's definitely impacting economic developers because it's impacting leaders and we are leaders and it's impacting business and governmental systems. And so when you look at our body of work, you can't say that it has no impact. It does. And it's, you know, about both sides of the coin you can see engaging. So that's kind of my top of mind. You know, what do you think about cancel culture?
A lot of things.
Whoa.
You have a lot of thoughts. And so, you know, many people do. And there's good, right? Like it's this way of bringing problematic behavior to light and keeping people accountable for their actions. There's bad sides to it. Like you said, these are real human beings. There's real impacts to this. And the rift between ideologies just keeps growing from this. This doesn't account for people having personal growth. So when I think back on myself at age 23 versus today at age 37, there's many things that in today's world I could, quote unquote, get canceled for. But have I grown from that? Have I learned from those moments? Have I done better? Yes. And so a lot of these things, there's so many good things, but there's also bad things. So you mentioned the free market at work, and it's that idea of consumers voting with their dollars and choosing where to spend their money. They're rewarding the value-creating businesses and, you know, technically kind of punishing those who don't create value. And so cancel culture can be seen as akin to boycotting, just like you were just saying, which is such an established form of voting with our wallet. This whole battle between free speech and the free market at work. And then when I think about cancel culture right now, I'm thinking about like everything that's going on with Ukraine and Russia, and people are taking these things and they're like virtue signaling. So one of my favorite examples is that there was a university in Milan that is trying to stand in solidarity with Ukraine and decided to, let me look at my notes, the name of the novelist was Fyodor Dostoevsky. And he is a very famous novelist who died 150 or so years ago. So they're like trying to ban his works. And it's just, it's this thing where people jump on these bandwagons to signal that they have this moral character, but it doesn't actually accomplish anything because this philosophist was a person who was actually almost executed for reading banned books, for acting against Russia. So it's this whole thing. It goes in so deep. But what I would really like to talk about is, you know, like including in today's world, right? We have Stolichnaya, the Russian vodka brand that's rebranding right now. So it's a business impact mm-hmm. on what is happening for fear of getting canceled. Even though when I think about that, that Russian brand is owned by a Russian who was exiled from his country for opposing what is happening in that country. So it's all these things, all these ways of impacting business, all these ways that people are acting, and often it is on this like high emotional note. But how does that impact business?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you definitely see it impacting business, right? So like you gave an example. I think there are other really great examples, and I think it's hard to fully describe how it's impacting business without giving a couple of examples, even though these examples don't begin to even tell the depth at which I believe it does impact business. But just to, for the spirit of throwing out some examples, you know, one of those is when you think about all of the controversy on voting rights mm-hmm. that we experienced in the most recent election season, presidential elections and beyond. It's definitely gone beyond the presidential election. But one of those examples was Delta Airlines, and they had received a tax exemption and incentives. And there was idea of stripping, like clawing them back, basically. And as you said, we have companies that are trying to demonstrate their values by making certain statements. And so what probably from their perspective was a really well-meaning, like we want to show our support and solidarity, then ends up having a business implication. In the end, it didn't get passed anyway, so they were able to keep the incentive. But both sides of that argument claimed cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you looked at it from both sides, you could be like, well, Delta tried to cancel this legislation
yeah.
and the people behind it, and vice versa. Delta almost got canceled
right.
by, you know, it has business implications that ripple, you know, and that's just what you can see on the surface level. And I know that those types of things are happening in communities and for companies that are way smaller than Atlanta, Georgia and yeah. Delta Airlines.
100%.
You know.
So when you think about that, you know, there's a total effect that it has on people, on just the micro level of humanity, too. And I think you've got some stats on that.
Yeah. So when you think about humanity, I mean, this is what gets so tricky. And I feel like we have created a society and certainly a society of leaders. And I really see leaders struggling with this. Is how do you lead in this type of world where you could get canceled, right? But you're human and you're evolving. And I think people are really struggling. So there was a survey done in 2020 in which 62% of the respondents said that they really do feel like they cannot express their true beliefs.
That's now serious.
That's, you know, almost two thirds of people saying, I can't really express my beliefs because it's not safe.
Yeah.
You know, so you have people holding back. Well, we all know when people hold back, I mean, there's some reason to hold back sometimes, right? Like there's
a case to be made for diplomacy and professionalism. 100%. And civil discourse.
Yeah. And there also is a lot of innovation and progress that can be left on the table when people aren't expressing their beliefs and or ideas. And so without that ability to kind of engage, to know that there even is a divide or a difference in beliefs or perception, mm-hmm. if you don't ever acknowledge that it's there because nobody's saying what they truly believe, there, it doesn't mean that there isn't still a divide. You just can't actually get to any type of win-win or move forward strategy in yeah. that space. And so you end up having people who aren't really voicing that differing of opinions until things get like pretty volatile.
Yeah. And that's so scary, right? Because every single thing, you could literally make a polarization case for almost anything that's going on in the world today. And somehow or another, one group is going to get a hold of it, sink their teeth into it, rip it to shreds. And the other group is going to stand up and say this. So there's no room for that middle ground anymore. And that's what's so scary. There are so many real implications in business. And it's this idea of like, how do we get people to subscribe back to the point where they realize that problems are, you can't look at it like a coin. There's not two sides to a problem. It's like a diamond. There's so many different facets depending on like who is involved with this. And then there's, of course, there's these very cut and dry cases of like, nope, that's not okay. But in so many cases, there's so many things that come to look at these problems that you can't just pick one side versus the other.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I always, before really taking any type of a cancel culture situation, let's call them, seriously, I feel like I always try to approach things with a little bit of empathy first, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that there are multiple sides to that diamond. And I also just firmly, firmly believe that we are a being imperfect. We all have flaws that is also evolving. Mm-hmm. And part of what we're evolving is evolving as an individual and evolving as a society and evolving in a climate, right? And that makes things not as black and white as a lot of people would want them to be. It just is. That just is the place that we are. And luckily, we've been through seasons, even in our own history, in which we've seen progress made. So there's really great things that can come from movement, you know, but there's also this acceleration that's happening by like the news cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's like, how do you take a deep breath as an individual consumer and say like, okay, what's my role in understanding this situation and perspective in before I react? And I think that's all of our responsibility.
I think that you're 100% correct. And it just reminds me of this idea that so many people see people changing opinions as being flip-floppers. And I see it as a sign of growth, because the amount of times that I change my opinion because I have better and more information is, I mean, I can't count that. And I don't hold that against other people where all of a sudden I'm like, wait, you had this opinion last week. You know what? We need to have that grace for each other that opinions can change.
100%. And opinions should change. I mean, I think there's a Absolutely. Quote out there, and I can't even think of who it said it, but it was basically saying like, you aren't actively listening if you don't ever change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all recognize that we need to listen in order to interpret and change. But it's almost like sometimes we don't give people the grace to change.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we approach things that way? And I think as economic developers, we're kind of in this place of, you know, to bring it back full circle, like, how does this affect us? Well, it's affecting business. It's affecting leaders. It's certainly affecting us and our role. And when you think about needing great leadership to do the work that we do, whether that's in your organization, whether that's in your city council, like elected officials, for policy change in the companies that you serve, like, it just has this ripple effect. And if people get to the point where that fear, and going back to that statistic, means that they're not putting themselves in situations to evolve and mm-hmm. to listen to evolve with the intent to evolve, then we don't always have the cream of the crop in the leadership seats that we need.
Right.
You know, because it's a risky place. It becomes a really risky place to be.
We could keep talking about this for hours. We're going to knock it off right here. But, you know, it's always a super interesting discussion with you, Carla. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. And if we lived a little bit in ambiguity today, it feels like we were able to address some of those concerns.
Absolutely. And I think it's a really relevant topic. I think, you know, I'd be lying if I said, like, as a leader, you don't face it, like, and thinking about what you even respond to on social media or not. And so I think it's a real reality that we're facing. And I don't think we have all the answers, but I think thinking about it and really starting to think through as a leader, like, what are your core values? Because I think most decisions, if you have set and established core values for yourself as a leader, most of your decisions on what to weigh into, what not to weigh into, and how to respond to certain situations, you're not going to be perfect. But if you do have values that are core to you and you go back to them constantly as a decision-making tool, you're going to be better off than if you're just flying out there trying to just function off of gut intuition.
100%. All right. Well, on that note, Carla, thanks for chatting today. And we'll be back for another episode together soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Faye.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.